Radiance Capital versus Bartz.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Reese Sterling for defendant and appellant Nicholas Bartz. 3 minutes, please.
Very well.
Thank you. The background facts are undisputed and are set forth in our main brief, so I'm not going to belabor my time with a rehash of the facts. And also, unless Your Honors have some kind of specific question on the issue of long-arm jurisdiction, then I'll let our briefs, you know, speak on that particular issue by itself, because I really truly believe that the real issue before this court boils down to whether the personal guarantee that was signed by Nicholas Bartz subjects him to the personal jurisdiction of the state of Washington with venue in the King County Superior Court. This particular guarantee states that, quote, the undersigned guarantee and promise to make all of the payments and perform all debtor's obligations as specified in this equipment financing agreement, end quote. Guarantee language does not, however, state anything whatsoever regarding jurisdiction or waiver of jury trial, choice of law, and venue. So unless Bartz's personal guarantee specifically encompasses these provisions outside of the written words, our courts do not have personal jurisdiction over Mr. Bartz, and the money judgment entered against him by the Superior Court is a nullity. Personal guarantees are contracts, the provisions of which are construed most strongly against the drafter, here, Radiance, and in favor of the guarantor, here, Mr. Bartz. Courts are strongly cautioned against inserting into a contract that which the parties failed to include. It's sort of the woulda, coulda, shoulda argument. They had every opportunity to make it very express and very explicit. They didn't do that, so they should bear the burden of their omissions. Superior Court denied our 12B motion to dismiss for lack of personal jurisdiction, yet granted Radiance's motion for summary judgment. Both of these motions, as well as the construction of written contracts, present issues of law for this court to review and decide de novo. This is not an abuse of discretion. This is de novo review by this court. Mr. Bartz agreed only to perform all of Health Pro Solution LLC's obligations as specified in the agreement. We submit that the phrase, quote, perform all debtor's obligations, end quote, means and refers only to those requirements regarding the equipment imposed on Health Pro Solutions.
Why would that be the only interpretation of
that? Well, Your Honor, what I'm looking at, Judge Spearman, is paragraph number 14 on page APP-2. Of our main brief. And that particular provision states that if the debtor fails to perform any of its obligations hereunder, so that's very clear, similar language, perform debtor's obligations under this agreement.
And why wouldn't one of the debtor's obligations that he agreed to was to submit to the jurisdiction of the state of Washington?
No, because that's inconsistent with paragraph 14. If the debtor doesn't perform its obligations under the agreement, like pay taxes, maintain the equipment, or whatever, then Radiance, the creditor, can step in and perform in its place. It's totally incongruous that the agreement would say that, oh, okay, so Health Pro Solutions does not agree to jurisdiction in King County, so therefore Radiance agrees to jurisdiction. No. So you have to read the provisions, the different provisions of this contract together, which is typically what's done by courts with respect to written contracts. And when reading paragraph 14 in the light of this is an express intention and express manifestation of Radiance Capital's intent that perform debtor's obligations must be strictly construed against Radiance, and in favor of Bartz by saying, no, that does not encompass jurisdiction. Otherwise, we just inserted provisions into the contract that weren't there. And Mr. Bartz is very clear in all of his declarations in support of his motion to dismiss that he never intended to submit. He's a resident of Michigan, and the contracts and everything were done down in Arizona. The equipment itself was delivered into Michigan, ultimately then to Arizona. So there's nothing in the contract, nothing in the meeting of the minds, nothing in, as far as manifestation of intent that would indicate that the agreement would broadly construe, without expressly saying so, that, oh, and Mr. Bartz, you also agreed to, as part of the obligations, to submit to the jurisdiction, venue, choice of law, and waiver of jury trial in the state of Washington, a far distant place. It's just not there. So basically, reading those provisions of the contract together, which we must, there's absolutely no manifestation of intent, no meeting of the minds when Mr. Bartz signed his personal guarantee to perform the obligations, i.e., make sure the taxes were paid if HPS did not do so, take care of the equipment if HPS did not do so, then basically those are the obligations that Mr. Bartz committed himself to. He is subject to lawsuit for failure to perform those obligations, but that lawsuit does not subject him to state of Washington jurisdiction. If Radiance wants to bring an action against Mr. Bartz, Michigan is the place of residency and citizenship of him, and they are more than welcome, if they so wish, to go to Michigan and litigate this particular action. Now, as we also discussed in our brief, Mr. Bartz requests that this court award him his attorney's fees and costs under the long-arm statute 428.185.5 and also RAP 18.1. Very briefly, I'll do this now instead of later. As for the bankruptcy matter that's out there, I'm not a bankruptcy attorney, so forgive me for not knowing all the ins and outs of bankruptcy law. But all I know for sure is that in October 2008, Mr. Bartz filed a bankruptcy petition under Chapter 7. And this was subsequent then to the personal guarantee signed in May of 2008. All the requirements for discharge, however, were not met until very recently. And I also included, I believe, a copy of the discharge from the Bankruptcy Court in Eastern Michigan, U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Eastern Michigan. That was just entered here recently as page APP-1. So basically, I understand, however, that the discharge relates back in time, and that's an issue for the bankruptcy lawyer and Radiance's counsel. So that completes my knowledge of bankruptcy, and I appreciate your patience and attention. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
My name is Shannon Jones, and I represent Radiance Capital. That is the equipment finance company at the other end of this contract. We're requesting that the court uphold the lower court's decision to deny the motion to dismiss and to grant summary judgment to Radiance Capital on its breach of contract. First, with respect to the standard of review, there's no dispute, there was no defense presented to the actual amounts awarded on summary judgment. Dr. Bartz, the individual defendant, concedes he breached this contract. So the standard is not de novo. It's abuse of discretion where Your Honor's decision rests on, and the lower court's decision rests on, whether or not this forum selection and jurisdiction clause should be upheld. And by denying the motion to dismiss, that's what Judge White decided, that we will uphold this forum selection and jurisdiction clause. There's no argument with respect to the law in Washington on enforcement.
He also granted your summary judgment motion, did he not?
He did.
Why would that not be de novo review?
The fact that we got, it was almost $30,000 plus attorney's fees and costs in summary judgment, is not disputed. So there was no opposition presented to the motion for summary judgment. There wasn't in the record any opposition. The opposition was just the motion to dismiss. And if that were granted, then effectively the court would not have even considered the motion for summary judgment, because the court would not have had jurisdiction over this matter, or this individual, I should say, and we wouldn't have even reached that issue.
Wouldn't it always be an abuse of discretion to hold a guarantor to a contract provision that they wasn't in the contract?
I think it would be.
So it doesn't really matter whether we call it abuse of discretion or de novo in terms of what the contractual obligation of the guarantor was, right? We end up in the same place.
I would agree. I would agree, Your Honor. And on the contract language, The key contract provision is paragraph 26, not paragraph 14, but paragraph 26 of the equipment financed agreement, which in all caps, headed by a boldface heading, states in no uncertain terms that venue, jurisdiction, and the laws of the state of Washington will apply to any disputes with respect to this agreement.
Between the debtor.
Between the debtor. But Schedule A to that agreement says expressly all terms and conditions of that equipment finance agreement are incorporated by reference. We have one agreement.
Incorporated into the contract, does it not? It doesn't mean it's incorporated into the guarantee.
No, it means it's incorporated into the guarantee. That's on Schedule A, the personal guarantee. Says it starts out with a provision that says all terms and conditions of the equipment finance agreement are incorporated into this Schedule A, and that is the personal guarantee. So essentially the debtor, although defined in the equipment finance agreement to start out with as this now defunct LLC, is, for all intents and purposes, also Dr. Bartz, because Dr. Bartz steps into the shoes of the debtor when he signs Schedule A and agrees that all of the terms and conditions of the equipment finance agreement are incorporated by reference and that he will be personally obligated to perform all of those obligations. He wasn't simply saying, I will make the payments.
Does the guarantee incorporate Schedule A in some way?
The guarantee is on Schedule A.
I know it's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But does the guarantee, with the guarantee set out by its own separate headings and personal guarantee, and that's the contract that Mr. Bartz signed.
I understand what Your Honor is asking. I misunderstood initially. Schedule A to the equipment finance agreement is, our position anyway, an integrated document. So I understand what Your Honor is saying. At the bottom it says personal guarantee, and that's where he has signed underneath. But this Schedule A is actually one all-inclusive document. Yes, it does set out the terms of payment, but it also sets out that in totality, Schedule A incorporates all of the other terms. And with respect to obligations, we had briefed below and looked up in the Webster's Dictionary exactly what that means. An obligation is not limited to payment, performance of payment, which is, you know, also addressed in Schedule A. An obligation means to perform a duty. So all of those duties that the now defunct LLC agreed to perform, Dr. Bartz also personally agreed to perform. That's the plain language of his personal guarantee. And I'd also like to note that Dr. Bartz was the only member of his now defunct LLC. So Dr. Bartz signed each and every page, with his initials anyway, of this equipment financing agreement. So the fact that his signature, full signature, appears only on Schedule A, well, he also signed on the equipment finance agreement and initialed every page. So for him to now say that, well, I didn't understand my personal guarantee also meant I would be subject to Washington's jurisdiction is completely unreasonable. The plain language says he's going to perform all of the obligations of the debtor, his now defunct LLC, and that would include paragraph 26, which has the consent to jurisdiction.
Lots of times a contract will say, you know, part of this deal is that the parties are going to enter a guarantee in the form attached as Exhibit C. And then there's an attachment that's Exhibit C, and then when they go to sign it, though, they don't sign Exhibit C, they sign a separate piece of paper that's actually the guarantee. Did this contract make that kind of a reference? And if it did, does it make any difference that he signed on Schedule A itself as opposed to a separate piece of paper that's labeled personal guarantee?
Well, because Schedule A at the commencement specifically incorporates by reference all terms of the equipment finance agreement, I do think it makes a difference because we're supposed to look at the totality of the document. So that means that Schedule A is a part of the equipment finance agreement. If we're going to make a determination of the intent of the contracting parties by looking at the four corners of the agreement, it's the equipment financing agreement together with Schedule A. And because at the commencement it says all terms of the equipment finance agreement are incorporated herein by reference, you must assume by signing to the personal guarantee and agreeing to all of the obligations in that very agreement. That includes paragraph 26. There's nothing in Schedule A that would suggest otherwise. The plain language, in fact, states that he does agree to those obligations, each and every one. It doesn't call out specific obligations over others.
So we don't draw a distinction between the sort of financial obligations and I'm going to pay this money and if there's a default and so forth. It's every single?
No, the agreement does not draw that distinction. It says every obligation. And, in fact, it also says that.
Is it a reasonable interpretation to distinguish in that way, though, that's what the parties intended?
I don't believe it is, and that's because I think that it actually says, let me look at the quotation, but the language of the personal guarantee not only incorporates the terms by reference, but it says specifically that Dr. Bartz promises to make all of the payments and perform all debtors' obligations. So, yeah, it calls out he has to make the payments, but then it also calls out he has to perform all of the obligations. So for Dr. Bartz to now say that, but I don't know that he even makes that argument. I think he's just making the argument that you have to have paragraph 26, I guess, a form of that paragraph or some other statement of a consent in Schedule A. And what Radiance is saying is paragraph 26, for all intents and purposes, is in Schedule A. Because here we have incorporated by reference all of those terms and conditions, and he's agreed to meet all of those obligations.
How about counsel's argument that when you're deciding what obligations mean in the guarantee, you have to look at the way obligation is used in other parts of the contract, and we look at this other paragraph, it's clear we're talking about physical acts to be performed.
I disagree, because there's a lot of obligations in this agreement that don't have to do with performance of physical acts. So I would just go with a plain dictionary meaning, which is, it's all-encompassing of everything that would be set out in the equipment finance agreement, the duty to actually abide by that agreement, including paragraph 26 and the consent to personal jurisdiction. So if Your Honors don't have any other questions, that concludes my argument. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe that each of your honors has a very good grasp of the situation, so unless you have any specific questions, then I don't have anything further either.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our calendar.